Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church on this sunny day, to both those online and you in person. Wherever you're coming with this week to this place, we pray that you will experience the restoring presence of the Lord Jesus today. I have a couple of announcements. First, a celebration of a graduate, Annika Rogerson, the daughter of Sonia, and Slade Rogerson, the granddaughter of our own Renata, is graduating from Goochland High School and Reynolds Community College with an associate's degree. So I think we can put our hands together for that. And she is sitting right there, so please congratulate her as you make your way to fellowship this afternoon. Two other notices, not exactly announcements, but more education. This past week, May the 20th, I think, was the 1700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea. The Council of Nicaea, where we get the Nicene Creed, if you've said that before, was really the first time that the church across the known world came together and professed the one faith using common words. They created the Nicene Creed as a response to really a heresy about the person of Jesus. Is Jesus really God, or is Jesus really man? And the answer is, he is very God and very man. And so this is one of our creeds and confessions, the Nicene Creed, and over the next couple of weeks, we will be saying it in worship in place of the Apostles' Creed. That may be new to many of you, so I'd like us to practice one time through so that we can get the hang of it. It's a little bit of a different language. Would you put the creed on the screen, please? Okay, let's say this together, shall we? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. So as you can see, power packed with truth. Our triune God, the very humanness and divine nature of Christ, the Holy Spirit, has it all in there. All for one. So we will do that over the next couple of weeks in place of the Apostles' Creed. The second little bit of information that I want to give you today is that this morning we are celebrating Ascension Sunday. So that's when, after 40 days with his disciples, after he was risen from the dead, Jesus then ascended into heaven. This is not just what we think of as Jesus going away, leaving us all by ourselves. but the fact that Jesus goes to the right hand of his Father makes everything we do possible. Because as he goes, he gives us the Holy Spirit, and his abiding presence is then with us. So we are celebrating that today. In Germany, I've been told there is a holiday, a public holiday for Ascension, sometimes a week long for school students especially, and people celebrate it today, but they don't exactly know that it has anything to do with Ascension. So we're going to have our own holiday, and I've made little cards for Ascension Day, and each of you will get one if you so wish. So please see me as you come out, and we'll also have cake in Holman Hall. So we are really celebrating the fullness of this feast day. Let's prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you.
Please rise and join me as we are called to worship. We are witnesses. The Lord is risen.
Christ has ascended to reign on high.
Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises.
For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises.
Same Lord of all who has gathered us to worship, now greet you with these words. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, after 40 days with his disciples, your blessed Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, ascended to your right hand, enthroned to reign forever, praised and adored by angels and saints. And so we pray, let us join that great throng and give you all the glory. Help us by the aid of your Holy Spirit that in this hour our hearts and minds may be set heavenward in worship. And let us not leave this place, but that we have known that you have met us here. For we make our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Friends, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in the mercy of God in Jesus Christ, let us humbly confess our sins together. Merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name.
In Jesus Christ, God has made us into a new community and healed our brokenness. We who were once dead are alive again. We who were lost are now found. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ, and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast using the words of the Nicene Creed. Christians, what do we believe? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. I'd like to invite any children this morning to come down and join me. And that includes children over the age of 10, 15, 25, 45, any of you.
Where would you like us?
We're going to be right here. Hello. Right here. Sit here, Carol. There we go. Story from this book, for such a time as this, stories of women in the Bible. And this story is called An Empty Pitcher, the story of the woman at the well. She liked to go to the well in the heat of the day because she knew it wouldn't be crowded. That way, she didn't have to answer everyone's questions or look away from people's icy stares. She knew what they thought about her, and she would rather pretend none of it existed. I would rather face the blazing sun than their faces, she thought. Sweat rolled down her back as she reached the well. There was a man there whom she had never seen before, and she avoided his gaze the same way she did everyone else's. "Give me a drink," the man said. The woman knew that he was a Jew, wasn't supposed to talk to Samaritans like herself. She asked him, why he would ask such a thing of a woman. He shouldn't even be speaking to her. If you knew who you were talking to right now, you would never have asked. But you would have asked him for living water, the man answered, and he would have given it to you. The woman was puzzled and looked around at him for an explanation. "You don't have a bucket, a rope, or anything else to lower into this well. It's incredibly deep, so I don't know how you think you could manage to get water." He looked at her kindly, and she wasn't sure what to make of him. "This water will quench your thirst for a little while," he said, "but there's another kind of water you can drink if you never want to be thirsty again." "I want that water," she said. "Give it to me so I won't have to keep coming here day after day." The man told her to go and get her husband, and she shook her head in response. "I don't have a husband," she said. "No," the man answered calmly, "you don't. But you have 5 husbands already, and the man you spend time with now isn't your husband." She stared at him, her lips quivering in shock. "You..." she began. "You must be a prophet. How could you know all of that?" Her empty water pitcher sat beside her as she forgot the reason she had come in the first place. "I believe the Messiah is coming," she told him. "And when he comes to us, he's going to explain everything and make everything right." Nothing in the world could have prepared her for what he was about to say. "I am that man," he whispered. She knew it was true. How else could he have known everything about her? She stumbled over her feet, running as fast as she could into town to tell everyone about him. Now, instead of avoiding those who judged her, she was trying to find them. God had come down to save sinners just like her, and not even her own shame could keep her from telling them. With her pitcher left behind her at the well, she shouted about what just happened to anyone who would listen. The baby Jesus had grown to be a man. His cousin John had baptized him exactly as it had been predicted, and now he was traveling with a group of men to share the good news with people everywhere. So for many years, God's people had ignored him, but he kept loving them and trying to show them that he was real. And when Jesus came to earth, he found a woman who had ignored God for years as well. It would be easy to imagine that God would send his son to live in a palace on earth and to demand that very important people pay attention to him. But after all, he could have come any way he wanted. But Jesus had been born alongside soft noises of animals in a manger. And when the time came for him to announce who he was, it was a woman who was running away from her mistakes. Why? Well, because he wanted her to run towards the town while praising him instead of running away in shame. She thought she was going to fill her pitcher, but instead she left with the promise that couldn't be contained. The Messiah had finally come. That's a good story, isn't it? Well, will you join me in prayer real quick?
Let's see everyone's prayer hands. As I say to the
preschoolers, let's see our prayer hands. And will you repeat after me? Dear God.
Dear God.
Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for showing us.
Thank you for showing us.
That even when we make mistakes.
That even when we make mistakes.
You still love us.
In Jesus' name,
we pray.
Amen.
Okay, you can go back and sit down. Will you pray with me?
Our good and gracious God, as you revealed yourself in the risen Christ to Mary at the tomb, reveal yourself afresh to us this day through the reading of your word and the proclamation of your gospel, so that with Mary and all the saints, we might proclaim to this broken world, I have seen the Lord. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, the first chapter, starting in the first verse. You can find it on page 884 in your pew Bible, 884. Acts chapter 1, starting in the first verse. Listen now to God's word. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father had set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and while they were gazing towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord. It has been said that we live in anxious times. In our own day, we have seen an upheaval of political norms, the instability of the economic status quo, and even turmoil in our common life. Many people, and maybe you are one of them, feel that things should be better. Yet everything seems so big, you don't know where to start. We have a sense of responsibility to try to make the world a better place, but our reality is overwhelming, anxiety-producing. I think as Christians, we feel a similar kind of anxiety. We have a sense of responsibility, a sense of burden as heralds of the gospel to be successful for the Lord. We think that now that Jesus has ascended into heaven, it's our turn to pick up the baton, and by spreading the good news, we will save the world. But the world is much bigger than we are. As we see and experience the utter brokenness around us, we may begin to give up hope, decide it's really just better to protect ourselves and so wall up in our churches where it is safe. Torn between zeal for God and hopelessness, the Christian life can become really anxiety-producing. Good news is we are not the first to experience this kind of anxiety, and it could be said in the lineage of faith that we come by it honestly. In our reading this morning, the apostles reveal the burden of their hearts as they face the soon-to-be ascended Jesus. So at this point in the story, you remember the disciples have really had an experience of what we might call an emotional roller coaster, of events. First, they watch their friend die a brutal, gruesome death at the hands of the Romans. The utter horror of that event. And then, only 3 days later, they were met with the joyous news that he was indeed not dead, but risen. Talk about contrasts. Then over the next 40 days, as the text tells us, the risen Jesus continually showed them that he was not dead, but was risen. And I think that makes a lot of sense to us because the dead don't usually come back to life. Jesus had to constantly go, hey, this isn't a dream. This is real. And at the same time, he was teaching them about the kingdom of God, particularly about the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, this kingdom of God talk began to make the disciples a little antsy. So the very next time they were with Jesus, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? The apostles were always anxious about the time. Throughout the Gospels, you may remember, they would constantly ask Jesus, when will the kingdom be established? When will that time that you're speaking of be? Now, we must remember that the whole of the Jewish people in the first century lived in a kind of anticipation for the restoration of Israel. Since the Babylonian exile, that's that period in the New Testament when the kingdom of Babylon took the Jewish people out of their land. From that time on, the Jewish people had lived as captives of other nations, even and especially cruel nations. And even when they were back in their own land, they were still a people oppressed. The Roman Empire was just another in a long line of oppressors. The people yearned for freedom. So as the disciples saw Jesus performing miracles, teaching about the coming kingdom, even raising the dead, they began to wonder, is this the longed-for time? Is this when we will be free? Especially then as they saw their teacher who defeated death itself. The anxiety for restoration became palpable. And Jesus replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority." Not exactly what they wanted to hear now, was it? No. But as our Lord often does, he did not immediately ease their burden. He did not immediately address their concerns, but instead, he pushed them. He pushed them to see the bigger picture. They were focused on, they were anxious about the restoration of their country. But Jesus was focused on something more. "It is not for you to know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and to the ends of the earth." The disciples were focused on the restoration of their country, but Jesus was focused on their witness to the world. In essence, Jesus is saying here, don't worry about establishing the kingdom, about bringing peace on earth by your own hand, about saving the world. Instead, witness to the world about what I have done and about what I am doing to make all things new. Now, if we took a second to think about that, what freedom that gives us. What burden is lifted to know that I don't have to save the world? There's already somebody who's doing that. Because what Jesus didn't say was, "Okay, disciples, take it from here. I'm going to ascend now. I'm real tired of this place. And I'm going to leave the reconciliation of the world in your hands." No. He called them, and by extension, us, to be witnesses, not saviors. In a courtroom, the witness is not the one who committed the crime, nor is the one who gives the judgment. The witness instead proclaims what they see and heard and experienced. And it's the same for us and every Christian. We are not the savior. We are not called to reach up and bring the kingdom down by our own willpower. That's what Christ is doing right now. Instead, we are called to witness to our community, to our world, that Jesus is making all things new, that he is reconciling all things to the Father. We are called, as he gives us power with the Holy Spirit, to proclaim in word and deed what we have seen Jesus do in our own lives and what we continue to experience together in Christ's redeeming love for a broken world. We may be hopeless, but I don't know how we could see new life and think that God doesn't care about us anymore. I'm going to make a bold proclamation here and say that even a child's laughter is a sign of God's grace to us. We will not know the times or the periods that God has set, but as it were, we have our marching orders. Like a soldier in a battle doesn't know the plans of the general, he marches on, trusting that the general can see the whole field. We witness to the ongoing reconciling work of Jesus Christ, knowing that he sees the whole field, that all things are in his hands. The only difference between the soldier and ourselves is that our general is not in some headquarters far away, but he is on the front lines, leading the way. For by the ascension, Jesus, who was once limited to a time and a place, now in the power of the Spirit, can reach into every time and place with his redeeming grace, bringing the new reality of God's kingdom to bear on a world that longs for restoration. He goes ahead of us to the least and to the lost, to the sinner and to the sufferer, and he gives them that grace in abundance and makes them new. Jesus then calls you to go to the very same and witness by your words and deeds how you live together in this community to model the kingdom which he is bringing into our reality. You need not be anxious about saving the world. Jesus has it in his hands. But in that freedom, go where he is leading, to the poor and powerless, the weak and wounded, and by your words and deeds, witness to his transforming grace. Why do you stand looking up towards heaven? Go to the world in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us turn again to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, Christ ascended to your right hand to reign as King forever, and he calls us to go to the world witnessing to his gracious rule. Grant us your Holy Spirit with power, that we might not be weighed down by the anxieties of the world, but in courage and joy proclaim the good news in word and deed. Hear us now as we lift before you our prayers. Gracious Father, you created all things by the word of your power and sustain all things by your sovereign will. Grant that all peoples and nations would come to recognize you and so find their true peace. We pray this day for an end to the war in Ukraine and a cessation of violence in Gaza. Establish your justice and peace in these lands so that the downtrodden might be lifted up and the mighty may be cast from their thrones. Aid and comfort, we pray, those affected by the tornadoes in the Midwest. Bless their families, bless those who mourn, and send your helpers into that place to be a presence of healing and hope. Almighty Father, we remember this day our armed forces, especially those who have sacrificed all in defense of our nation's values. Help us to honor them by working for a world free of all violence and all bloodshed. Blessed Jesus, you have redeemed us to be your people and gather us into your body, the church. Lead us onward in your power, and help us meet the least and the lost with the message of your redeeming love. We pray this day for the church in Egypt. Strengthen our brothers and sisters through their trials, and may the gospel flourish in that land. We pray for the Goochland churches. Let us be united in our confession that Jesus is Lord, while honoring the unique gifts you give to each of us. And we pray for this congregation, which you have called Hebron. Help us to be not only a place of gospel truth, but of gospel culture, honoring one another and welcoming others as Christ has welcomed us. Great Spirit, in your presence you restore the broken and comfort the afflicted. Bless those this day who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. And especially we lift before you in this quiet moment all those circumstances and people who weigh on our hearts and minds. O Holy Trinity, glory, praise, and honor are yours, for you hear us when we cry to you. For we make our prayer in Jesus' name using the words he taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Therefore, let us dedicate our life and labors to God. Gracious Lord, you give us gifts from your good creation. Help us to use them according to your will. We dedicate these gifts back to you, that they may glorify your name, that they may help to build up your church and be a witness to the world. And so bless and sanctify them, and help us to be good stewards of the same. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. To join us for cake in Holman Hall directly following worship. The ascended Lord Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit and power to be his witnesses to a broken and weary world. So go from this place and proclaim the saving grace of God in Jesus Christ. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day and always. Amen.